And of course, our top story of the day, even though we're a hyper-local station and we cover local news, obviously the major thing we've got to be focusing on right now is what has gone on and what is continuing to go on in Washington, D.C. Yesterday, a mob of pro-Trump extremists storming the U.S. Capitol building in the midst of an already contentious debate about the certification of the Electoral College, which is typically a rubber stamp affair. This year, a very different story. We've covered some of the details, but what do we make of this? What should we make of this? How can we begin to understand the events of the last 24 hours? How do we put it in context? Jonathan Weiler is a professor of global studies at UNC, undergrad chair in that department, and he's also the co-author of a book called Authoritarianism and Polarization in American Politics, just one of several things that he has written that are particularly relevant to what we're seeing right now. And Dr. Weiler joins us now on the phone. Dr. Weiler, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So just to get us started, what are your thoughts right now, and what were your thoughts yesterday watching and listening to all of this unfold?
Well, Aaron, like a lot of people, I was, you know, first and foremost, just frustrated, dismayed, and angry at what was unfolding. And just a couple of the things that were really foremost in my mind. One, we've had a president who's been inciting people to violence for a long time, actually. And of course, the president can't succeed on his own. He needs enablers. And he's had enablers throughout the Republican Party for years now, including some people who very belatedly, like Mitch McConnell and Mike Pence, have been egging him on and enabling his behavior for years. So that was one thing that I found very frustrating. And another was, and I think it's so obvious, but it's painful, Aaron, had these been even peaceful black protesters, they would not have gotten anywhere near the inside of the Capitol Rotunda, let alone been allowed to run roughshod over the United States Congress. They would have been subject to repression and violence long before anything escalated to that point. And it's something that just really highlights what we've come to confront all too starkly in the United States, is just this really nauseating racial divide, and which makes a mockery out of, you know, the idea of equal protection under the law. So those were a couple of things that just had me really dismayed yesterday.
What, if any, precedent is there for this in American history? People talked about the War of 1812 being the last time the Capitol was stormed. We'll see people in North Carolina will point to the Wilmington insurrection in 1898. But what comes to mind historically for you?
Well, two things that I thought about yesterday in these terms. One was, you know, certainly in the 1960s and the 1970s, that was a period of much more common political violence in the United States, including several, as everybody knows, extraordinarily consequential assassinations, but also almost repeated bombings of government buildings by extremists of various stripes in the 60s and 70s, and lots of violence, uprisings in American cities. So that was one thing. And another was, you know, there were Puerto Rican nationalists who broke into the House chamber in 1954 and shot several members of Congress from the gallery. But certainly, I was born in 1965, and my conscious lifetime, I haven't really seen anything like this.
Speaking with Jonathan Weiler, again, professor of global studies at UNC, the co-author of Authoritarianism and Polarization in American Politics. And I'll mention the book again because you've written about, and we've talked about on the air, the the causes of polarization, and one of those causes is just the spread of misinformation and disinformation and outright lies in media outlets, certainly on social media, and fomented and spread by major political figures like the president himself. And we've seen this in the last 24 hours, too. People storming the Capitol and creating havoc and mayhem and causing violence and also risking their own lives over what is essentially a lie that has just been spread and spread and spread. What if any precedent exists for like that level of disinformation dominating public discourse?
Well, what you're just describing, Aaron, is really, it's a terrible problem, years in the making, an increasingly conspiratorial informational ecosystem on the right specifically, among whose chief purveyors for many years now have been Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and have created a world in which there's just no relationship between people's fervently held beliefs and reality. It's worth remembering that it was the journalist Ronald Susskind who in 2004 reported a conversation with a high-ranking official, was almost certainly Karl Rove, who mocked the idea of liberals in the coast living in what he called, again, mockingly called the reality-based community. And so part of what frustrates me, as I said, about enablers, including some of whom are now very belatedly horrified by what they're witnessing, is that they were very much part of this growing, really pandemic of disinformation. And they themselves have been super spreaders. And now we are, you know, yielding the very bitter fruits of that.
We've been talking about precedents in American history. You're a professor of global studies, and this is something that the entire world is weighing in on. Is there a parallel in the world that this reminds you of?
Well, certainly more broadly, the phenomenon of right-wing populism, it has gained tremendous traction around the world, particularly in the last decade, in places like Brazil, the Philippines, India, Hungary, Britain, France, Germany to varying degrees. And we see a lot of similarities, including in terms of what we were just talking about, this kind of ecosystem of conspiratorial disinformation that motivates some, you know, significant portion of the population to believe that their leaders, their institutions are unjust, illegitimate, need to be overthrown, and that it doesn't, you know, and that violence is an acceptable means of doing so.
Speaking with Jonathan Weiler again, and as we start to wrap up this conversation, what do you want to see happen next? What should we do in order to get us back to some semblance of where we ought to be as a people?
Well, I think this problem of disinformation and this problem of these poisonous informational ecosystems is what some people refer to in other contexts as a wicked problem. It's just going to be very difficult to solve. I do, you know, I think we're all especially mindful of the calendar now. We've got 13 days left of this poisonous presidency. And I think at least in the immediate term, it will help some when Joe Biden becomes president and at least uses different language to communicate with Americans and to talk about what are the acceptable boundaries of political behavior. But the larger and longer term problem of disinformation, of people living in really different realities, is, I'm afraid for the time being, an intractable one.
Dr. Jonathan Weiler, UNC professor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.